And it's great to have y'all here with us as we start our new year. Normally I will start on the first Sunday in January. I'll start a new New Testament series, but I'm going to be pushing that back to next week to start our new expository series going through one of the epistles. But I wanted to have to let you know that today I'm going to do sort of a transitional message. Last week I took the week off, and so there are no bulletins here this morning because it was like I really wanted to. Sandra and I, we wanted to take the time off, and not everybody takes bulletins anyway. So this week is going to be an unusual message. It's more of a topical. So we're going to get back into our verse-by-verse expository Bible series next week. But today I wanted to do a little bit of revision of some of the things that Josiah alluded to. In December we had our annual church business meeting, and I wanted to look at some of those, use that as a springboard to open up the text for today. You know, a blazing fire, when you think about it, it can evoke feelings of either comfort or feelings of fear, depending upon the context. If you are freezing cold in the winter, then a blazing fire is something that you're looking forward to. You're really wanting it. It's going to warm you up. It's going to save your life. But a blazing fire, if you're in Southern California at certain amounts of time, at certain times of the year, that's a terrifying thing. You think that your life is going to end. Now, this weekend, we heard some news about some activity down in Venezuela, and when I look at some of the news reports, there's a lot of celebration in the streets for people experiencing the fires of freedom that have taken place. But the thing is whether it's on a geopolitical level, or on a physical level with fire, or on a spiritual level, being ablaze can have a double sense depending upon the context. The thing is I wanted to give you a little bit of an introduction with my pastor's report from December. I'm just going to read the introduction. It says, talking about for each year I have a word for the year, and for 2025 the word of the year was rekindle. And then the thing that I noticed was that when a fire is diminished, it's either due to lack of fuel or an intentional or unintentional quenching of the flames that take place. And it requires an intentional tending if the flames have started to go out. And it doesn't mean that there's no flame or that there's no heat or that there wasn't previous flame or heat. It just means it needs some attention. And I said in that pastor's report that my prayer throughout the year last year was that the Lord would restore the spiritual passion of us as individual believers and together as the body of believers here at Crossview. And this year I'm praying even more for that, and I want us to move beyond trying to keep the small flame that remains from being extinguished to asking God to pour out His Spirit on us like kerosene on a small fire. Crossview is a small fire, but has great potential to burn brightly. And we have seasoned wood. We have people with solid biblical foundations. We have people with gifts and understanding of the Great Commission and purpose. There's a lot of good here for you. And the necessary fuel that for there to be a blaze is present to have significant kingdom impact here in Fayetteville and beyond. And for this reason, the on my heart, the word for this year, 2026, is ablaze. I don't want to look back to yesterday's fire, yesterday's glory days, or yesterday's successes. I want us to remember the good things that God has done in our midst. But as we look forward, we want to anticipate the Holy Spirit's work in our midst in a fresh and new way. And I believe that we can experience greater unity, greater ministry effectiveness than we have ever seen before. Now, this can be scary. But something that is ablaze could be viewed as out of control. However, as long as Jesus is the one adding the oil and the Holy Spirit to us, we need not fear. And so today, as we look at what God wants to do in our midst, we have a choice of how we respond to the work of the Holy Spirit among us. And God didn't give us this life just to take up space. If you have life and breath in your body, you have purpose. And as we begin the new year, let's look at an approach to living into that purpose that God has for us. Before we get into the text, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you for your faithfulness to us, and I pray that you would empower us to apply the truth of your word in our life and in our circumstances. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do in our lives this year. In the name of Jesus, amen. The main idea that I want you to take, I'm really having some problems with this mic. I wonder if I should go to the handheld here. Is that any better? Is that still, we're having problems with all of our. Okay, I'll just go back. Clear, yeah. It'll be cracking and breaking, but we'll get through it. If not, I'll just take it off and yell, and we'll get through it that way. But the main idea that I want you to take away from today's message is that fresh dependence upon the Spirit produces fresh fruit for God's glory. So we want to have that fresh dependence upon the Spirit of God so that the fruit that we bear for the glory of God be a fresh and a new thing. That doesn't mean that the fruit that we bore in the past was bad or insignificant, but we need to experience the fresh fruit that God is doing in our lives through the work that's taking place. And so as we go into the new year, I want us to be ablaze for Jesus, but we have to have oil. We need to do this, we need the fresh oil in our walks with Jesus. Now, we're going to be jumping around. We're going to be looking at some text. But as we look at this concept and this need for fresh oil, there's oil has two functions. There's the oil for the lamp, and then there's the oil that was for anointing. We see this in Scripture as we look at several passages, especially in Exodus chapter 27, verse 20. As Moses is given the law, he's talking about the use of oil. And he says in Exodus 27, 20, he says, "And you shall command the people of Israel that they bring you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that the lamp may regularly be set up to burn." Part of the tabernacle, part of the functions for the meeting place of God was to have oil in the lamps. Israelites were to bring fresh oil to keep those lamps burning. The oil lamp was for producing light. And this corresponds with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit is often described in terms of oil, the outpouring. The Holy Spirit is the one who is fueling the illumination of the truth of God's Word. So we need a fresh oil, the fresh work of the Holy Spirit, to provide light in the same way that oil, physical oil, was provided for the lamps to illuminate the place of meeting. In this Old Testament, the oil had to be refilled on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, when we look at the Jewish holidays of Hanukkah in the intertestamental period, they were talking about that they had enough oil, that they didn't have enough oil, and so the oil lasted 8 days, and that's why the Jewish people celebrate Hanukkah. There was a supernatural provision of oil. And so in that Old Testament, we see that there's this process of refilling. If there's not a refilling of the oil lamps, the light will go out. But we're not living in the Old Testament times, and we don't have the tabernacle and the place of meeting anymore. But the whole principle of the oil providing light through the work of the Holy Spirit still applies to us today. But in the New Testament, we see that Jesus told parables speaking about oil as well. And as a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 3 and 4, in the midst of that parable about the 10 virgins, it says that for when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And so there was this understanding from the wise virgins compared to the foolish virgins that they needed to have the supply of oil with them. So when the bridegroom came, they would be ready and prepared. We need to have fresh oil. We need to be prepared. But the difference is where in the Old Testament there was a filling up, the Holy Spirit would come in punctual ways to anoint and to fill the specific task. There was anointing of prophets, priests, and kings. In the New Testament, we have something better. We don't have to wait for that special supply of the oil. The Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit, indwells every person who is a true believer in Jesus Christ. And so we have the oil of the Holy Spirit continually present with us. The question is, how are we going to deal with this? We don't have to worry about the replenishment of the supply. The question is, are we allowing the spigot to be open? Are we allowing the flow to take place? It's a ready resource for us, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The question is, are we cutting off the supply of the work of the Holy Spirit in us through a toleration of sin, either actively or passively. Being indifferent to the things of God. Trusting in yesterday's oil and yesterday's fire. Well, oil wasn't just only for the lamps and for providing light. Oil also was used for anointing, as I mentioned, for the prophet, priest, and king. And there was the different aspect of the oil was that there was a fragrance to it. And this fragrance was symbolic as well as the oral fact reminder that the Holy Spirit was operating in the midst of his people Israel. It was a reminder when they would smell the fragrance of the anointing oil that the Holy Spirit was the one who was consecrating these three categories of people, prophet, priest, and king, for the tasks that they had at hand. We read about that in Exodus chapter 30, verses 25 through 31. And it says, "And you shall make these a sacred anointing oil blended by the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With you, you shall anoint the tent of meetings, the ark of the testimony, the table and all the utensils, the lampstand and all the utensils, the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the basin and the stand. You shall consecrate them, that they shall be the most holy. Whatever touches them will become holy. You shall anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests. And you shall say to the people of Israel, this shall be my holy anointing oil throughout all generations, throughout your generations." So we see this anointing oil had a purpose. Back then it was to anoint the place of the tent of meeting. It was to anoint the things, all of the things that occupied the tent of meetings. And it was used for anointing of the people. Aaron in the priesthood and his sons in the priesthood. And so there was this, that was taking place. Anointing was to set aside and to consecrate people, places, and things for God's purpose. That was back then. But now the difference is, are the place. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit together as the church body, and our individual bodies are just both individually and corporately described as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not only are we the place, but we are also things. What did it talk about? It talked about meetings and the ark of the testimony and the utensils and the lampstands. We are those things now. We are the living testimony. Are the lights of the world. So from that standpoint, we operate lampstands. We are the burnt offering because we are the living sacrifice of lives that we lay on the altar before the Lord. We are the people. We are the royal priesthood, the holy nation set apart for God's glory. And so we see how the oil served as light for the lamps, anointing for consecration for service back in the Old Testament. Parallels in the New Testament that we are to be lights. And so this oil of the Holy Spirit, the illuminating, fueling the illumination is so valid for us today. And as we go into the new year, we need to live into that calling for the fresh oil of the Spirit to move in us individually and among us corporately. You know, I like to do stuff up on the property in Virginia, and one of my favorite things to do is to break out the chainsaw. There's just nothing like having a chainsaw. But the problem with a chainsaw is it's got that two-cycle motor, and so it's a gasoline mixed with some oil, and you have to have the right ratio and things like that. And so it doesn't really fire up. But the problem is if you let it set for a long time, it becomes destabilized, and it is really hard to get that powerful chainsaw, which could cut down trees, fired up. And so there needs to be a fresh scene. They're a fresh expression. Sometimes it means taking out the old and then putting in fresh fuel. And so we need to make sure that as we go into this year, we're not counting on yesterday's oil, but we are allowing the Holy Spirit to do a new thing in our lives, refresh us for the service that he has. I'd like to ask, are you trying to live the Christian life today based on the resources that were given for yesterday's needs? If you are, then you're missing out on the blazing work that God wants to do in your life. Well, we've seen that there is a need for fresh oil, but as we go into the new year, if we want to be ablaze for Jesus in addition to the fresh oil, we have the need of fresh fire as well. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist was talking about his ministry, and he was and everybody was asking him, "Are you the Messiah?" And he had the crowds were following him around. The Pharisees were coming down. Roman soldiers, the populist people were coming around. And they were asking him if he was the one, and he said, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And so we see John the Baptist knew that his role, he was ablaze for the Lord. He was doing what God called him to do. But he knew that his ministry, as significant as it was nothing compared to the work that God was going to do when Jesus the Messiah came onto the scene. He was going to pour out his Spirit. He said he's going to baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit. Not this water baptism for repentance, which was good, that preparatory step. But he was going to do something even greater. He was going to baptize you with the fire and the Holy Spirit. Now the question is, what is the purpose of this? Well, fire has a purpose for purification. The Holy Spirit works to transform us into the image of Christ. If we claim to have the oil of the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Spirit, and we're not experiencing transformation, then there is a problem in this system. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't indwell us and live inside of us to be the temple and representative of God in us so that we would sit around and not become more and more like Jesus. But it's not something that we can force through our own efforts. It's a work of being connected and abiding with Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who transforms us into the image of Christ, and he does that through a purification process. And that purification process can sometimes be downright uncomfortable and other times exhilarating. Because transformation has those ebbs and flows, those ups and downs. There's the down part of the destroying, the consuming of the bad. When there's the exposure of sin, and God doesn't, he loves you too much to leave you in your sin. He saved you right as you are, but not to leave you where you are. He loves you too much to leave you in your sin. And when he confronts that, and the Holy Spirit's fire comes upon you, he's going to destroy that. It's going to be uncomfortable. But the good news is that discomfort is actually curing you of something that can kill you. Destroy your effectiveness, to destroy your testimony, to diminish your light. That need for that fresh fire, that purification to destroy the bad. But also the good news is that same fire that destroys the bad, that burns off that chaff, that burns off that dross, purifies the gold. It purifies and refines what is good. The Holy Spirit has put good in you. God created you in his image. And through sin, that image was marred. But there's a good aspect because we are in the Imago Dei, created in the image of God. And so the refining process, the purification of the work of the Holy Spirit, the oil and the fire of the Holy Spirit is to refine us and to purify us. You've heard the illustration multiple times of a gold refiner or a silver refiner. How do they know when it's purified? It's when they can see their reflection in it. God wants to do a purifying work in your heart and mind through that refining process, that refining fire. We read about some of these things that took place in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Jesus talked about this. He taught this to the disciples. And so they're waiting around at Pentecost, and it says, on the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And dividing tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. That was the descending of the Holy Spirit upon them at Pentecost, empowering them for witness. They were praying. They were seeking the Lord. They were walking in obedience to what he had told them after his death, after his resurrection, those 40 days. Jesus ascended into heaven. And the 10 days from his ascension to the Pentecost, they're praying and they're seeking the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon them as promised, because in Acts 1:8, just the previous chapter, it says, Jesus said at the moment he was ascended, he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." If you spent any time here at Crossview, you know that verse. We talk about it all the time. That's central to the Christian and Missionary Alliance. We want to be reaching the gospel, reaching out with the gospel locally and globally, from here in Fayetteville to the ends of the earth. And some of you have been to the ends of the earth coming back from Japan recently. But it's an exciting thing to know that that purpose, that anointing, that fire of the Holy Spirit is not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others as the Holy Spirit is transforming us, is to be witnesses out. So there's that fire of purification, but there's also the fire of multiplication. Christ doesn't want us just to take this power that he has given us for our own glory, but he wants us to spread. The work of the Holy Spirit is not only to transform us through purification, image of Christ. That fire is for the multiplication so the Holy Spirit can deploy us to share the glory of Christ with others, to fulfill our purpose. And if we're not ablaze for Christ and his transformation in us, then we're not living fully into our purpose. And so I want to challenge all of us to not be satisfied with the status quo, not to be satisfied with just phoning it in, but to be excited and a passionate and ablaze for Jesus. Fire spreads through contact, and fire transforms what has been contacted. We saw the fires in Southern California and how it just wiped out whole sections of Los Angeles. Fire had to touch something so that it could burn. And then when it touched something else, that caught fire and it burned. And that's why you saw that blaze just spread and destroy that city. But there's another aspect with which fire can transform. When it's controlled, when it's under the work of God to accomplish his purposes, it can transform what it's contacted. There are techniques that are used in construction where you'll take the timbers and you'll take the logs and you'll actually burn them to a certain degree. Now, you're not burning them up like you're throwing logs in the fire, but you're charring the externals. And so what that does is that provides an external protective barrier against insects penetration and also wood rot. So there are things that can take place. So fire, it spreads from contact, and fire transforms what it has contacted. Now, what hinders the establishment of a strong fire? What hinders the establishment of a fire that burns brightly? Well, it's either damp tinder or wet wood. Well, what stops the spread of a wildfire? Well, there has to be an external quenching, either through rain or firefighters' work. Or there can be the removal of fuel in a preemptive way. Now, if we don't take the preemptive removal of the fuel, then that means neglect, and that fuels that wildfire. And so the thing is there are negative fires, and you can either fuel that or you can fuel the positive fires that God wants to do in our lives. I'd like to ask, are you content to look back on yesterday's fire rather than experiencing the warmth of today's fire that God wants to do in your life? You know, all of that stuff in the past is good. Not saying anything bad about it. But if we're living in the past versus the present provision for God through his oil and his fire, then we're missing out on what he has for us today. And I don't want anyone here to miss out on what God has for you today, what God has for you this week, what God has for you this month, what God has for you this year, if you choose to walk in obedience to him and become ablaze for him and for his glory. Well, that fresh oil and that fresh fire from the Holy Spirit as Christ followers leads us to the third point, and that is we need to be ablaze. We need to be ablaze for Jesus. He deserves nothing less than for us to be ablaze for him. Paul saw this even in his young disciple Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 5 through 7, he says to Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which you received through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Fan into flames. Fan into flames. Let it become a blaze in your life. God has equipped you. If you're a Christ follower, God has equipped you with everything that you need for life and for godliness. Fan it to flames. Use that gift for God's glory. Allow him to do something fresh and new in your life. Fan it to flames. Because he didn't give us a spirit of timidity, a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power and love and self-control. Power to accomplish what he wants because he has equipped us. Love because that's the way that he wants us to accomplish this. And self-control so that we don't overwhelm or crush in the process, but we apply this great power and this great love in the appropriate way, in the appropriate time. That's what it means for us to be ablaze in these last days. Filling up, internally on fire for Jesus is what we need to be. And that starts with faith. The faith that Timothy had, that sincere faith. It was something that was transferred generationally from his grandmother and his mother. Not that he automatically got their faith, but his mother and grandmother modeled that faith. So I want to encourage you all, wherever you are in your stage of life, whether you're on the north end or the south end of life. We don't know how we could be right there and we think that we're on the north end of life when we next day God's going to call us home. But the thing is that we can be that model of faith for those who come after us, whether it's somebody older than us or younger than us. We can be that model of faith the way that Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, were a model to him. And Paul highlights that. So there is that faith, which was the fire in the belly of Timothy and should be the fire in our bellies as well, which pushes us to that boldness, the power of action, faith that leads to action. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul is writing to the church and he says, "Thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spread the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." Once again, that fragrance is from that fragrant oil. Spreading that knowledge. The purpose is to fill up so that it has an overflow and spreads out eternally. That fire in our belly becomes a fire externally for Jesus. That we become that fragrant aroma. And in Acts chapter 4, verses 16 through 20, as they were looking at the disciples, and how they were witnessing and how they were a fire for Jesus and telling all the people about Jesus. The religious leaders didn't like that. And they said, "What shall we do with these men? For a notable sign had been performed through them and is evident for all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them not to speak any more to anyone in his name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you or man, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." There was an overflow of the fire in Peter and John that could not be quenched by the threats of the religious authorities of the day. They were uncancelable. May we be people who refuse to be canceled because we have the message of life. And may we be ablaze to share that, to be filled up and to transformed with the holiness of Christ in us and having that overflow into the lives of others so that we can spread the news of Jesus. Now, I know I'm mixing my metaphors here, but this overflow of the fire can result in being, here's the mixed metaphor, it can either be a lubricant or it can be an irritant. Fire isn't normally thought of as a lubricant. But when we are ablaze for Jesus, as we are sharing Jesus, that can be a lubricant because the thing is the oil of the Holy Spirit is doing that lubrication. Sometimes it will be lubricating and sometimes it will be setting up and being a flame. And so as we operate, as we are externally sharing Jesus, we have that fire-breathing testimony of truth, of holiness, of justice and accountability that encourages others. Our external testimony and witness can be a lubricant that can spark somebody else on to share their testimony, to be that witness, to be bold. But at the same time, it can be an irritant. It can be an irritant, but appropriately so, to make others feel uncomfortable, both believers and non-believers. Now, a non-believer is going to feel uncomfortable because you're talking about sin, and nobody wants to talk about that. But guess what? Believers might feel uncomfortable because as you're aflame for Jesus, they're realizing that I'm not living in obedience, and they're coming under conviction, and that can be an irritant. But guess what? That's not a you problem. That's a them problem. As long as you're doing it with power, love, and self-control. Not arrogance, but love and self-control. So be aware that we can be the lubricant or we can be the irritant. You know, when you walk outside in the winter, have you ever smelled the fire from a fireplace from your neighbors? It's like, man, that's a fireplace fire. That might be a good idea to have a fire today. It can spur you on to do that. Or if you walk outside in the summertime and you smell that, man, those burgers, that steak, that really smells good. You smell something on the grill. That can inspire others to want to make you want to grill out yourself. You can either be that lubricant and inspiring others to live into this, but sometimes it can be an irritant as well. We understand this. But as we close, I like to ask the question. I say that, you know, that God, He has a plan. And He's given you a choice. I would like to know, will you choose obedience and align with His plans and become a blaze for Him? Because fresh dependence upon the Spirit produces fresh fruit for God's glory. I hope that in 2026, you will have a fresh dependence upon the Spirit of God so that you can be a blaze for Him and bear fresh fruit for His glory. But what's your next step going to be? If you've never come to that point in your life where you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to seize the moment to catch the fire of salvation, because fire takes place, is transferred through contact. And we don't know if after you leave this place, whether you'll have a contact with the Lord who can catch you on fire for Him at another time. This is an opportune time. So if you've never come to know Christ, I invite you to catch fire today for salvation. But for those of us who do know Christ, I would encourage you in the same way to seize the moment to catch fire for sanctification, for holiness, and for sanctified kingdom service, so that you can leave a burn mark that's hard to erase on this world once we've passed from it. As we consider being ablaze for the Lord, we want to leave that burn mark that's not destructive in a scorched earth, from scorched earth, but a burn mark that is an intentional blessing to the next generation. Whatever your next step may be, may the Lord give you strength to live into that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.